Father, anoint my lips so that I may speak your words and open up ears and hearts to receive your word, Lord. That we may grow in faith, grow in love, grow in hope in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Though if you do ever go to the gym, you'll notice a lot of guys, they like to lift, you know, do curls, get your biceps big. You do bench press. Maybe you see guys doing squats. But one muscle you probably won't see them working out is the tongue. It is a muscle. And if you go to Florida, actually you go to the delis, you see it on display. You can eat it. Not a human tongue. My daughter says, "What's that?" I said, "That's a cow tongue. Why would somebody eat that?" I said, "I don't know. But people do eat it. It's a big muscle." Brooke's grandfather used to love tongue sandwiches. But nonetheless, we do have this muscle in our mouths called the tongue. And it's a very, it may be small, and contrary to popular belief, it's not the strongest muscle in your body, but it is strong and it is highly influential. More than your biceps or your pectorals, this will influence your life and more and others' lives more than any muscle in your body. So that's what we're going to talk about. Hit it, Bruce. So nice. They're very good. I like that. I think Jill would appreciate that. Right? She could rename her book, Tape It. So guarding our tongues, guiding our lives. Sounds like a soap opera. So I'm going to talk about our tongues and how, because this is extremely important. Next slide, and I'll get right into it. Now, we live in a time where people speak immediately. I remember once, I was in the train in New York, and we're coming back from the city, going to Brooke's parents. This guy was on the phone, flipping between apps, responding to this and that. I mean, instantaneous, some sort of comment. I just couldn't believe the speed at which he was texting and commenting and emojiing and all that other stuff. Like, it just, I mean, it's not a pejorative statement, but like, how do you think that quickly to make a comment? I'm the kind of person, like, I don't want to respond unless I can actually think about what I want to say. Because there is the fact that if you say it, you don't get it back. Moreover, you have the news. It's like, it's breaking news. You know, so everything that happens in D.C. is breaking news. This just happened. But before they've even investigated it, it's already news and there's already a comment upon it. And it's one of the criticisms of the writings of the New Covenant, my grandmother used to say, is, well, they wrote so decades after Yeshua lived and died. I said, right, because they did their research. And they didn't have Google, and they didn't have the Dewey Decimal System, so they had to go out and talk with people. So it takes time to write a good account of things that happen. People say just about whatever they think, whatever they feel, right? I feel this. You know, when you that can be a dangerous thing, when you just feel something, you don't actually check it with actually what is right or wrong, what actually you think. If I said everything I feel, I'd probably be in jail. Right? Like I got, it's a funny side story. So I'm going to get my father-in-law's car cleaned. We're down in Florida. He let us borrow his car. It was really gracious. I said, I'll get it clean. I'll put in gas. So I pull into this parking lot. It's a parking lot. Shouldn't go too fast, right? So I look behind me and there's this, I got it. She must be 90. Driving behind me, giving me the hands. I said, what? Are you serious? So I was I don't do it, don't respond to her. Because everyone in South Florida is from New York, in case you don't know. Right, the East Coast, right? So I gently, like, kind of put up my hand, like, serious? What do you want me to do? Then she puts her hands up more. I'm like, lady, come on. You're in Florida. What's so bad? And she, like, I finally pull away. You know, like, that's her feelings. Right? And I had to check my feelings because I wanted to roll down the window and say, back off. But I didn't. So just because you feel something doesn't mean you should say it or do it. And you know, this goes also with this last point, is that the world, the system, allows, even endorses, saying whatever, as long as it accomplishes its desired goals, which is the Machiavellian principle. The ends justify the means. So if your goal is to get to whatever point you're going to, you can say, slander, libel anybody you want as long as you get to that goal. That's not biblical. It's not godly. It's not right. It's not a good way to live, taking down people to achieve some sort of just any goal. It's often been the reason why there's been genocides in the past, because they have a goal and people get in the way. Whereas God says, I have a goal, but people are the goal. That's a big difference. So this is a lot what we see outside. Let's look at inside and how should we respond. Next slide. So watch your mouth, right? How should we speak? And is it really that important to God what we say? And what exactly is the tongue, or known as speech? All right, because we see that even in many languages, in Spanish in particular, if you say what language, you say lengua, saying same thing as tongue. In Hebrew, it can be the same, lashon, what language you speak. So this is a very important subject for us. Even one of the worship songs we sing, right from the Stuart Dowerman song, children, if you want to see long life, guard your tongue from evil. It's really important, right? You think, oh, I should teach my children love God. This is true. But watch your mouth, basically David's saying, because this is really important. Next. All right. Since I was in Florida, I thought I'd bring a little Spanish, right? Caution, cuidado. All right, this is from Jacob, or known as James, the brother of Yeshua. And he writes to the different Jewish believers scattered throughout the diaspora. And this is from chapter 3. I'm just going to read it 1 through 6. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, since you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If someone does not stumble in speech, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And if we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole body as well. See also the ships, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. See how so small a fire sets ablaze so great a forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of evil placed among our body parts. It pollutes the whole body and sets on fire the course of life, and is set on fire by Gehenna, which is hell. These are very powerful words. Almost all the book of Jacob or James is tough like this. He was no wimp. And he encouraged people to live their lives in a very disciplined, godly way. And he speaks emphatically about how to guard our tongues, because as it says, it sets the course of life. What we say has direct influence over our lives. Now, and there are many people who will talk about the word of life, and you speak life and don't speak bad. I mean, there's some truth to these things. Name it and claim it. Word of faith and so on and so forth. And there's some truth to these things. But I want to go further and not be so particular and so like a black and white about this, but watching what we say and how, I don't necessarily think if you say something bad, it's instantly going to happen. But you can, we're going to see how we can guide our tongues to bless God, ourselves, and others. You know, the funny thing about the tongue, if we go to the next slide, it just keeps going and going and going. You know, it is a muscle, but you think about most muscles, they get tired, right? Like my son, David says, pick me up. So I pick him up. My arm starts to get tired. Then I switch arms. Then that arm gets tired. And then I say, David, I can't hold you anymore. And like these kids up here, Kids are like tongues. They never stop. They have energy for days. Like, how do you have this much energy? And if you ever notice kids, when they go from room to room, they don't walk or slide. They run. Imagine if adults did this. They ran like children. It'd be scary. It'd be weird. But that's what a tongue is like. Like, it's just, they never stop until they do stop, and then they just pass out, which is great. But the tongue is like this. The tongue, if you think about it, between eating, speaking, singing, swallowing, tasting, licking, it never stops, and it's never tired. In singing, for instance, your cheeks might get tired. You have muscles in here that you use. Your neck may get tired, but your tongue, who's ever had a tired tongue? It's an amazing muscle. Actually, I read it has 8 muscles that comprise it and all work together in this network of strength. But really, it's an incredible thing, and it never gets tired. So you think about it. If you've ever seen kids, and for instance, if you've been on vacation with children, it's terrible because they have all this energy, and they're used to going to school. Do this. Go to here. Now you go on a recess. Whereas when you sit in an apartment built for one person or two, now you have 2 adults and 3 children, and they're going crazy. Right? I'm using this comparison for the tongue because it needs guidance. It needs direction. If you give kids direction, they do well. And that energy they have can be used for good. You don't give your kids direction, you can probably have crayon on your walls and orange juice on the floor and daughter stripping their younger son naked and running around saying, ha ha, look, look, look. It's like, no, put his clothes back on. And then they run around, ha 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 ha. This is what our tongue is like. Put it in check because it's going to go crazy unless you give it guidance and help to orient it where it should go and what it should say. Next. Jacob talks about the tongue being a fire. A little spark can ignite a whole blaze, which he's obviously speaking in negative terms. But my encouragement for us is, there's another fire mentioned in the Bible. Fire can also be life-giving. When Yeshua came on the scene, John said, I baptize you or immerse you in water, but one coming after me will immerse you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Those are the references up on the board. And then he even says in Luke 12, Yeshua says, oh, I have to endure this immersion by fire, and I've come to set the world ablaze. He wants to set this world on fire, but a good fire. And even when he did descend, the disciples, after waiting to receive power from on high, the Holy Spirit sends them tongues of fire, it's actually called. Apropos to this sermon, that's the kind of tongues we need. Now, obviously, we're talking about tongues. We know that they were speaking in different languages. But I think we can also, being Jewish is nice because you have liberty interpreting scripture. Those who go to like Dallas Theological Seminary, they're more rigid. But I'm glad I'm Jewish because I can, you know, flex this around, staying truthful to the text. But, idea if we have tongues of fire, but also that our tongues would be ignited and would be sanctified for the use of God. That's what I mean. Tongues can be for evil, but they can also be for praising God. It says in Psalm 34:2, your praise is always in my mouth. In my mouth. What's in your mouth? Your tongue's in your mouth. That's where God's praise should be. And it's also for professing Yeshua, as we read in the Eleinu, right? Every tongue will profess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So our tongue can be used for good things. And even when they did receive tongues of fire, they said they glorified God in different languages. And people heard them And it ultimately led to the salvation of thousands. So that spark, those 120 different sparks, ignited thousands. We have that potential today. Next. So what you talking about, Willis? A lot of us say foolish things, and here Jacob is lamenting about the wildness of the tongue. This is in continuing Jacob 3, verse 7. For every species of beasts and birds, reptiles and sea creatures is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human can tame the tongue. It's a stark statement. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Adonai and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the image of God. It's a continuation of the previous clause. We bless God, and then we look out here and we see the image of God. We should be speaking good to them as well. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be. A spring doesn't pour out fresh and bitter water from the same opening, does it? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh water. This goes in direct contradiction to the previous, in the first slide about the world saying you can say whatever as long as you achieve your altruistic goal, right? I want to do this and create a utopian society and tear down people in the process. It doesn't work like that. You can't produce good from evil. Only good produces good. No matter how much you deceive yourself or think you're good, trying to achieve a good goal, if on the way you're slandering and tearing down and cursing, you won't ever achieve it, or it'll be hollow. Next slide. So we're to use the force. I know I'm mixing movies and metaphors and so forth, but the fact of the force is, you know, those who know Star Wars, the force has the opportunity for good and for the dark side, right? We can use our tongue for good or we can use it for evil. Now, Jacob tells us the tongue is untamable. Humans can't tame it. But guess who can? God. It says in Luke 18, 27, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And since he's the one who also created the tongue, he probably knows what he's doing. And, you know, breaking it down, tongues receive direction from the heart. Yeshua is speaking to Pharisees and he says, "What your mouth basically only says what comes from in here. This is the source of the well, if you will. And then from out comes out is what from your mouth is only from what's inside." And the good news is that God is very much interested in healing hearts. So if he heals our hearts, it will directly affect our tongues. And Jacob further admonishes us, even the beginning of his letter, that he says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Our tongues need patience and calm. We live in a world that says, what do you say? Haven't you, you know, right, you text somebody or you post something. It's been 5 seconds. Why haven't they responded? My relationship is over. But dude, we need patience. We need, and if someone says something in, you know, exclamatory, defaming, be patient, be slow to speak, slow to anger. And even if somebody's, you can't listen to them or you've already heard them, listening can be also to listening to the Holy Spirit. There's no harm in taking your time to speak and to respond. If people are impatient, so what? But better you wait and say something that's be timely and that'll edify than to say something that's impetuous and can hurt or defame the name of God. Next slide. Here's the good news. Our tongues are life-giving. That's what they're supposed to be. We know that our tongues are used to worship God. But there's a lot of stuff, particularly in Proverbs, which talks about our tongues. And I'm going to read them because they're very important. Pleasant, these are all quotations. Pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. We can help people. We can heal people with what we say. An anxious heart weighs one down, but a good word cheers him up. Xanax is good, but good words are better. You can heal people and lift them up out of depression with godly words. And I don't mean nice words. These are life-giving words that come from here. A healing tongue is a tree of life, but a deceitful one crushes the spirit. Now, I was looking at this, and I said, why are these two juxtaposed? But I realize it also says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, that if we speak the truth in love, as Paul writes in Ephesians 4, that it can be a tree of life. Because look at the opposite, deceit crushes the spirit, not speaking the truth, or masking it. Everything's okay. I love you. It's fine. Whereas you should speak to somebody and say, no, that really hurt, and I want to work things out. And that will be greater truth, will lead to greater life than trying to mask things over. That's just one example, but there are others. But if we speak the truth in love, we can produce life. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This is tough. We should speak gentle words. That doesn't mean weak. Yeshua was never weak, but how often were his responses gentle? The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. If we impart to people the knowledge of the scriptures and the voice of the Holy Spirit, we can nourish people and satisfy them. Through patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue can break a bone. There is power in patiently speaking. And we can convince authorities and even have the power to break a bone. You know what it takes to break a bone? That's strong. But notice the juxtaposition. It's a soft tongue. It has greater strength than harshness or loudness. And Paul writes, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is something tough for me, that realizing, you know, what we say, sometimes, oh, I get, especially when you're tired, especially when you're impatient, when your kids are going crazy and people are saying stuff you don't want to hear, you have to realize, take a step back and say, what I say reflects on the glory of God. And it reflects on the power of Yeshua. This is why this is so important. It's not a guilt trip, but it's just a reality check that what we say can bring him glory or defame. But when we begin to pray and seek the Lord to heal us and to guide us and guard our tongues, that we can bring him great glory. Again, because we live in the world of just people, their tongues are out of control. But if we show the people that through the Holy Spirit we can control our tongues, that's a great testimony to God. And sometimes we say stuff because it gets a desired response. And maybe it's an old programming, strongholds in our lives, things that we've just been raised or just part of us, who we are. And we have to see those for what they are. And if it's godly, then great. If it's not godly, then you need to stop. And I'm saying this as I'm speaking to myself. And I've noticed a lot of times I'll say certain things because it gets a response, be it from others or from myself, or can be a control that we try to use to manipulate a situation. Those aren't things that are of God. And it's sometimes you can figure out the reasons why, or see the response that you're getting and say, you know, I need to stop. And sometimes you can't. So that requires the accountability of loved ones, leadership, chavura leaders or being in the chavura to be able to have a place of being open. Nonetheless, I'm going to leave with this. We have to guard our tongues, and we have the ability to do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we can give life to each other, to build each other up, to encourage, and also to go out there and to break down strongholds and deception that people have through loving them and to speaking kind words. Again, it's not weakness, but seeing that a soft word can break bones. That we can persuade leaders. That we can heal people with anxiety. Those who are crushed, that we can lift them up, that we can give them life. It says, fools die for a lack of understanding. The world is nuts. But we can give them what they need through speaking the words of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have leave no part of us untouched. And you told us to be holy as you are holy. Even Yeshua said to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Not something on our own strength, Lord, but yours alone. For where we are weak, Lord, then we are strong. Because your power is made great in our weakness. And I speak too as a man who has a tongue that needs to be tamed greater. But help us, God, to tame our tongues. So that the fire that exists within our mouths, Lord, would be for your glory, would be to burn up the wickedness in this world, Lord, and to build up, to burn out the dross, that praise would flow forth from our mouth, and life guide us to use it and to speak patiently, wisely. That you would receive glory, Lord, through our lips. For your glory, Father, through Yeshua, your Son, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for redemption and healing our lips and our tongues. In Yeshua's name, amen. Please rise. Let's give God glory in the Alleluia.